శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 16 దైవాసుర సంబత్ విభాగ యోగ శ్లోక 4 దంభో దర్పోభిమానశ్చ క్రోధ పారుష్యమేవ చ అజ్ఞానం చాపి జాతస్య పార్థ సంపద మాసురీం. అకార్డింగ్ టు అవర్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్, ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఇన్హెరిట్స్ any amount of wealth from one's parents, it is his own purva janma punyam that he inherits from the father or mother, and not that the father gives it away to his son. This is a kind of a belief. Similarly, virtues also, we may say that we got it from the parents. It is ultimately one's purva janma sadhana only, even to acquire good qualities. We have seen actually in the 6th chapter, tatrasam tam buddhi samyogam labate paurvadehikam yatatecha tato bhuyaha samsiddhav kurunandana. Purva buddhi samyogam labate. Of course, that does not mean if I am not virtuous by birth, I am doomed. It is not that kind of a thing. In that case, I have to acquire them in this birth. That's all it means. Then the next question is, what is the advantage of Daivi Sampath, the divinely virtues? What is the advantage of that? Krishna says, Daivi Sampath supports moksha. It enables a person to gain moksha, which we will see actually in the 5th shloka. We will note it now. Here in the 4th shloka, Krishna gives a brief list of Asuri Sampath, and later from the 6th shloka onwards, Krishna will talk about it more. And what are the vices, Asuri Sampath? What are the weaknesses of a person? Dambaha. We have seen in the 13th chapter itself, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, all those things we have seen. There we saw the absence of Dambaha. Here Krishna talks about the presence of Damba. Damba means showing off, declaring one's own glory, wealth, achievements, good actions, all the time telling that, oh, I did this, I did that, all that kind of thing. Shankaracharya says, dharma dvajitvam. Dvajitvam, dvaja means flag. So whatever actions, good actions I believe I have done, I put a flag and announce them all over the place. The person, you know, he ties a flag all over and he says, I have done this, I have done that, all that thing. So in those days, it may be a flag. These days, you know, it could be photographs, it could be newspapers, it could be TV commercials, all those things. I have given charity, I built this. You know, I used to tell always, you know, they put one tube light in one of our temples, and around the entire tube light, they write all their name, their address, their phone number. With the result, you cannot even see any light coming out of the tube light. So each one of them will be shown off. This is called dharma dvajitva. Then darpaha. Darpaha means being haughty, arrogance, by which one disrespects other people, especially the elders. Mahat avajna hetuhu, that's what it means, by which one insults other person, dishonors great people also. Duryodhana, for instance, in his haughtiness, he shouts at anyone. Darpaha means, you know, position, possession, etc. They all lead to arrogance of a person. Then abhimanaha means adhimanaha, any one of them. In some books also there is a difference. Adhimanaha means vanity. Vanity. This also we saw in the 13th chapter, Amanitvam. When we talked about it, we said Mani. That alone is mentioned here as Mana. Same thing. And what does it mean? Taking oneself to be superior. The superiority complex. Atmani Pujyatva Bhavana. Glorifying oneself all the time. Taking oneself to be deserving respect, honor, you know, prostration, garlanded. Respect and honor, you cannot just demand. People should feel like respecting you. People like should feel like prostrating to you. So it cannot be just demanded. So this superiority complex, that is called abhimanaha. Then krodaha. This also we have seen before in many places. Krodaha is anger. And we can say that Daivi Sampath, akrodaha, is mentioned when we talked about divine virtues. And in Asuri Sampath, krodaha is mentioned. So in Daivi Sampath, It's called Mardavam, was mentioned. In Asuri Sampat, it is Parushyam. Parushyam means opposite of Mardavam, softness. Mardavam is soft. So here it is harshness, being harsh, cruelty, impolite, in action and in language, in both of them. Then finally, Ajnanam. Ajnanam means ignorance. And here also we have to know that Ajnanam here is not self-ignorance, ignorance of oneself, because self-ignorance is common to both the people. A person with Daivi Sampat and also a person with Asuri Sampat, both of them have got self-ignorance. Even a virtuous man also has got self-ignorance. He is fit for self-knowledge though. He can gain knowledge and then he can gain Jnanam. Whereas this person, he is still not eligible. Then a vicious evil man also has self-ignorance also. It is common to both. One is ignorant good man, another is ignorant bad man. Then what is uncommon between them? The good man has got the knowledge of dharma, dharma, dharma and adharma. Even though he does not have the knowledge of atma, he knows what is good and what is not good. What should be taken, what should be avoided, he knows. He knows what is proper, what is improper. So karya and akarya, he knows the do's and the don'ts. Whereas the evil person, Asuri Sampat, that person, he is one who does not have this knowledge. Dharma, adharma, jnanam, nasti. He doesn't have that. And therefore, he has got ajnanam. So it is that kind of ajnanam, not the self-ignorance. So in this context, ajnanam should be translated as dharma, adharma, vivekaha. So avivekaha. Vivekaha means the one who knows that discriminative power is there. This person doesn't have that. And all these are for O Arjuna, O Bharata, Asuri Sampadam Abhijatasya. The one who has inherited this Asuri Sampat, this vicious character for that person. So such a person has all these traits. That means what? Whoever has got these traits, he is no more a human being at all. But he is listed here as an Asuraha. Asura he is. So we should remember, whenever we get angry, we are all asuras only. So Shankaracharya says, asura here includes rakshasas also. Not just only asura, rakshasas. Incidentally, in the introduction to this chapter, Shankaracharya refers to the 9th chapter. There he says, in one slokam, so rakshasim asurim chaivam prakritim mohinim shritaha, he said. So the evil people are supposed to have two characters. One is rakshasic character and another is asuric character. And Shankaracharya says that the Asuri Sampat of 16th chapter includes the Rakshasi character also. It is a mixture of Rakshasi and Asuri characters. Then we may want to know, what is the difference between them? Rakshasi character and Asuri character. He says Rakshasi is Rajapradhanaha and Asuri is Tamapradhanaha. The predominant quality of a Rakshasa is Rajasic quality. And for Asura is Tamasic quality. And Daivi is Sattva Pradhana. A person with Daivi Sampat, he is Sattva Pradhana, predominantly Sattva Guna. And if we ask further, what is the difference between Raja Pradhana and Tama Pradhana? We will get it in the 17th chapter, the next chapter. But we will give only a clue here. When a person acts selfishly for his own good only, it is Raja Pradhana. Incidentally, he may harm others, even though his aim is not to harm others, but in the process of projecting himself, his intention is not to harm, but he might harm also. In the process of his selfishness, like hoarding food, for example, he wants to hoard the food so that he can get and sell them at a higher price when there is more demand. So in the process, he is hurting a lot of people because of his selfishness. Many people may suffer. Whereas in the Asura case or Tamapradhana case, a person enjoys harming others. Sometimes he may not even benefit at all by that, but still he will harm others. So the selfish person does not harm others willingly, but he always pampers himself. Between the two, the Tamasic or Asuric person is the worst. The Rakshasic person is not that bad. Both of them come under bad only. But here, Krishna does not make such a difference between the Rakshasi and Asuri. Maybe the good, bad and the ugly. You know, there used to be a movie long ago. So this is the bad and ugly characters, both of them. And so Shankaracharya says, this is a mixture of both. Shloka 5. Daivi sampadvi mokshaya nibandaya surimata masucha sampatam daivim abhijatosi pandava. In the fourth shloka, Asuri Sampat was listed. And here in this shloka, Krishna says, what is the consequence of both of these virtues? Asuri Daivi Sampat. Daivi Sampat Vimokshaya. Daivi Sampat will lead a person to moksha. And how it will lead a person to moksha? Krishna does not say it here. But we have to understand that carefully. Not by being good, one gets moksha. I am a good man. That doesn't guarantee me moksha. A person can be good throughout the life and still he will have ajnanam. So he will still be an ajnani or a samsari only. Remember, moksha requires removal of ignorance. And ignorance will go when? Will go away only by knowledge. Therefore, we should remember, goodness involves study of scriptures and then go through the jnana marga. And how do we know that? Again, remember, Krishna has included Jnana Yoga Vyavastitihi in Daivi Sampat list, which is very, very important, which means the study of scriptures is also part of being good. And so, a good man will be interested in scriptures. He will seek a guru because scriptures, they say, Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. We have seen all those shlokas earlier. And he will do shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and then he will get jnanam. So, daivi sampat, guru prapti, jnana prapti dvara vimokshaya bhavati. That is how he will get moksha. It will lead to moksha through guru upasadanam, jnanam, and all those processes. Whereas for Arjuna, asuri nibandaya matha. Asuri Sampat will lead to samsara. Nibandhaya refers to samsara. Nibandhaya means nibandha. So, nitaram bandaha. Strong bandhanam. Firm bondage. That alone will be caused by Asuri Sampat. That will, it will lead to only that. Therefore, a seeker of moksha should take to Daivi Sampat. And we should remember that the main vision of Gita is moksha. So, it's a moksha shastra. Gita is considered a moksha shastra. And all other things Gita talks about are only support to this moksha. And this is important because often people take some portions of the Gita and talk as though Gita's aim is that. People talk, you know, so many things. Because Gita tells, you know, that Arjuna should fight in the battle. They conclude that Gita's essence is karma yoga. So, keep on doing your action without expecting the results. No doubt, Gita tells all those things. Yogastam kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. We saw all those shlokas earlier. So, when that is the case, you know, there is a chance that people might mistake, you know, those things and then come to some conclusions. So, these are all possible. So, similarly, Gita talks about personal discipline also. It says, you know, yuktahara viharasya. And many people, they will write articles as to how Gita says one should be healthy. Gita's message is to be healthy. You know, all these things people may give, these kind of messages. But what is the ultimate aim of Gita, one should understand clearly. So, similarly, Gita talks about virtuous man, how one should live in a society, Daivi Sampat. We should remember again, even virtue is not the goal of Gita, which is only an incidental sadhana, a stepping stone only. Then, why he talks about all these virtues? People might ask that question. It will help him in Aham Brahmasmi Jnanam. Therefore, you have to take to virtue. To gain that, one has to do that. Similarly, even dharma is not the goal of Gita. Even though Gita talks about a lot of dharma, it is still not the goal of Gita. Let me continue, no? So even virtue is not the goal of Gita, as I said. So one should have virtues because it will help a person to pursue Jnana Marga. Similarly, even if dharma is not the goal of Gita, Even though Gita talks about a lot of dharma, Shreyan, Swadharmo Vigunaham, Paradharmo Bhayavaha, Sunishtatatim, Swadharme Nidanam Shreyaham, Paradharmo Bhayavaha. We saw all those things. One should stay on following the Swadharma. Gita talks about dharma in lot of places, so many places talks about dharma. But Gita does not come under even dharma shastra. It is called the moksha shastra. This is actually an incidental point. And what is the aim of Gita? Aim of Gita is moksha. Then we should give Gita talk about dharma at all, because even dharma is only a stepping stone to moksha, because through dharma alone one can reach moksha. So this virtue is not the goal of Gita. Beauty, dharma, self-discipline, health, they are not the aim of Gita at all. But Gita talks about all of them. The aim is only moksha. How do we know this? Because we find Arjuna had all these things, all these good qualities he had. He was healthy, he was virtuous, he was dharmic, he was a successful person. Krishna need not teach any one of them to Arjuna at all. But we find Arjuna was still a samsari in spite of all these great qualities, in spite of all of them. And so Gita wants to teach that samsara will not go away by any of them. Even if you are virtuous, you are dharmic, you are successful, doesn't matter. Samsara will go away only if you get self-knowledge. And Arjuna asked for that only in the second chapter. Yashreyashyan nischitam bruhitam me sishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. That is what he asked. Teach me that means by which I will cross over samsara. That was his question. So remember, Gita's aim is jnanam. All others are only incidental. Therefore, Krishna says here, Arjuna, Daivi Sampat will lead to moksha, not Asuri Sampat. Then Arjuna is worried now. I belong to which group? I belong to the Asuri Sampat group or Daivi Sampat group? He wants to know. So immediately Krishna pats Arjuna and he says, you are in the Daivi Sampat category only. So Ma Suchaha, do not worry. Don't look down upon yourself. Never grieve. Why? Because Daivi Sampatam Abhijatasya Asi. You have inherited Daivi Sampat only. What is the proof for that? Otherwise, you won't attend Gita class. That's a simple thing. Full stop. If you feel like asking for a teaching from a guru, that itself requires some amount of Daivi Sampat. If somebody is interested in going and learning Shastras from someone, that itself is a testimony they already have Daivi Sampat. Person with Asuri Sampat will not be interested in this at all. Therefore, the very interest in Gita is a sign of Daivi Sampat. May not be in a saturated form, but to a great extent, it should be there. Shloka 6. Dvaubhuta sargo lokesmin daiva asura evacha daivo vistarasha proktaha asuram partha meshrunu. Here Krishna says that the entire humanity can be divided into two groups. They are Daiva Srishtihi and Asuri Srishtihi. So, Asmin Loke, Dvau Bhuta Sargav. In this world, there are two types, Dvau, two types of created beings. Bhuta means beings, Sarga means created. What are those? Daivaha, Asuraha, Evacha. Known as Daiva and Asura. And Daiva and Daivi are both one and the same, except that one is masculine, Daiva, and Daivi is feminine gender. When we say Daivi Sampat, there it is feminine, because Sampat in Sanskrit is feminine gender. This is an incidental point. So when we say Daivaha Sargaha, Sargaha is masculine. So we have to say Daivaha Sargaha or Daivi Sampat. And Asuraha, even though the word Bhutaha, that means all beings in general, in this context, we should take only humans in this particular context, because in humans alone, there is a choice of changing. There is willpower. So we can choose to be either Rakshasik or worse than a tiger or a cow like gentle, a person like a cow. Whereas in the case of animals, we can separate them into Daivi and Asuri groups very distinctively. For example, cow, sheep, elephant, they all come under one group. tiger, lion, jackal, they all come in another group. But here we are not discussing those because their nature is instinctive. For all the animals, they are driven by instincts. There is nothing like a good tiger and a bad tiger. It's nature by birth it is. So a tiger never accrues papam or punyam. So is a cow. But they cannot attain moksha. They have to come to human birth only and gain self-knowledge. So the discussion here is for a human being. So dvau bhuta sargav means dvau manushya sargav. So they are the people. Of these two, Krishna says, Daivaha vistarashaha prokta. The Daiva group of virtues have been spoken elaborately to you. Where? In the first three shlokas of this chapter, Daiva Sampat was spoken very clearly. Whereas Asuram was spoken only briefly in the fourth shloka. Now on, I will elaborate the Asuri Sampat. O Partha, Asuram me shruno. May you listen to the Asuri Sampat, which includes Rakshasi Sampat also, as I told earlier. Why should Krishna elaborately discuss this? Not for someone to follow, but to avoid. We want to avoid those traits. So we should know what to follow and what not to follow. Devi Sampat Upadhanasya. Asuri Sampat Parjanasya. You should remove that. For Parjanaya it is. So idi Upadhanaya is Devi Sampat. So Devi Sampat is for following and Asuri Sampat is for avoiding. Shloka 7. Pravrittincha nivrittincha janana vidura asuraha na saucham na pichacharaha na satyam teshu vidyate. So from this shloka begins the description of Asuri Sampat. Very, very elaborate. Up to 21 shlokas. Up to 21st shloka, 15 shlokas are dedicated for this particular topic. So Daivi Sampat, only 3 shlokas. Asuri Sampat, 15 shlokas. Because we have that only in plenty. Most people have only that in plenty. So what is their first problem? It is like what they say about the son-in-law. You know, about the son-in-law generally, what is the problem with him? He has no problem at all. Very good person only. Except he knows anything himself. He does not know anything himself, nor will he understand when someone tells him also. In Tamil, they say, Tanakkum theriyadhu, Chonnalum theriyadhu. They say, he will not know anything himself. He will not also understand if somebody tells him also. So, the first problem that Asuri the person have is what? Avidyanam, avidyayam antare vartamanaha. In Kathopanishad, we have already seen this. Avidyayam antare vartamanaha, swayam dhiraha, panditam manyamanaha. Janganyamanaha pariyanti mudaha andeneva niyamanaha yatantaha. That is what it was told by Yamadharmaraja said. So their first problem is they don't know what is proper and what is improper. They won't learn from scriptures or from elders or from a guru also. So Krishna tells their fundamental problem is ajnanam. Both atma ajnanam and dharma adharma viveka. Both are absent in them. They do not know how to lead their lives at all. So their life is governed by what? Prakriti. Prakritim yanti bhutani. Prakriti means ragadvesha here. Rajas tamo gunaha. All that. So rajoguna and tamo guna, they influence these people. And whatever they feel like, they do. In the name of freedom. Oh, I am free to do anything I want. We are born free. Can do anything. That attitude. That is why we call them prakrita janaha. Wild humans they are. Whereas the other person, he also feels like doing many things. That is the Devi Sampannaha, the person who is endowed with that kind of good virtues also, he also has got his own ragadveshas, his own problems and his own desires. He always has all of them. But even though he feels like doing certain things, he does not allow every feeling to be expressed. He restrains them. And he goes by Shastra, Vidhi, Nisheda. So the do's and don'ts. And so we call him Samskrita Janaha. One is called Prakrita Janaha and another is called Samskrita Janaha. Here Krishna tells that these people are Prakritaha. Why? Because Asuraha Janaha Pravrittincha Nivrittincha Na Viduhu. They do not know what is to be done. Pravritti. and what should not be done. Nivritti, na viduhu, they don't know. So we can take pravritti as vidhi and nivritti as nisheda. Vidhi means the do's and nivritti, nisheda means the don'ts. So Shankara tells pravritti marga and nivritti marga. But this meaning will be easier to understand, the do's and the don'ts. And they don't know karyam and akaryam, what should be done, what should not be done. Why they do not have this dharma, adharma, jnanam at all. He will point out later that they don't accept the scriptures also, these people. And scriptures is the only source of dharma jnanam. If somebody wants to know what is dharma, the only source is only the scriptures. Veda agilaha dharma moolam. What is punyam, what is papam, what will lead to a better janma or moksha, all those are given only in scriptures, not in science. All this cannot be discussed by any other science. They can talk about local material matters only. And so only when a person accepts the scriptures, believe in them, then alone dharma and moksha become valid for such people. For all others, it is just only some hearsay stuff. So this attitude of I know everything, why should I learn, that is said by Krishna here as pravrittincham nivrittincham asuraha janaha na viduhu. Vidhi and nisheda, they do not know. And so what is their life? Krishna says na saucham napina napicha acharaha. They don't believe in any saucham. Saucham means cleanliness. They don't believe in any of them at all. Even if they follow physical cleanliness, they do not know the religious shaucham at all. Religious cleanliness, they don't know. They do not believe in any one of the spiritual cleanliness at all. Sometimes during certain rituals, snanam is done a few times. In certain rituals, one should be doing snanam a few times. They are not for physical cleanliness, but spiritual or religious cleanliness. Actually, even taking bath every morning is considered a religious bath only in our scriptures. Because during sushupti, in deep sleep, the jivatma is supposed to merge with the karana shariram. People who have followed all these things, they might remember. During sushupti, during the deep sleep state, the jivatma is supposed to merge with the karana shariram, the causal body. And so the body is as good as a dead body when we are in deep sleep. And when we wake up next day, we have to use this body only to do all activities. And so we have to religiously sanctify the day. And that is why during snanam also, mantras are recited. We just don't stand under a shower. There are Agamarshana Suktas and all, so many Suktas are recited when people take up shower to sanctify the body. So this bathing has a physical and religious cleaning purpose. So they prescribe certain other shaucham also, religious shaucham, washing the feet and hands after going to bathroom, taking food, all those things. These things they won't understand because they cannot understand purely by science. Why should I do all that? I am only in the house all the time. Why should I clean my legs after taking food? For example, put some ghee for Annashuddhi. You know, we put, you know, to clean the food, you put a drop of ghee. This is not a physical cleanliness, but religious cleanliness, because ghee is believed to have the power of cleaning everything. Actually, there is another interesting also. Who will clean the ghee? Because ghee has the power to clean everything, true. But how can ghee be cleaned? So for that they say, if there is a Sumangali stree in the house, ask her to come and look at the ghee. By her sheer look, the ghee gets sanctified. And that sanctified ghee can sanctify everything else. So these are all our beliefs. And how the rice has got, you know, all this. For example, put some ghee for Annasuddhi. It's not a physical illness. So all these things, there are so many. Because how the rice is got, we earned rice by so many means, through even corruptive means and all that thing. So let this food not affect my mind. Right? You take food. The food is bought by earning money. And how the money was earned, one might go to a job, and the guy who paid the money, how he got that money? It may be through ignoble means, we don't know. So when in our scriptures, we believe that when there is transfer of wealth or some material, it is not only the material transfer, but also the transfer of character of a person who gives and the person who receives. The receiver gets the portion of the character along with the material received. So how to clean that? You cannot ask him, did you earn money by noble means or ignoble means? So we have to only make sure that we clean. These are all our beliefs in the scriptures. So they do all this cleanliness. Or some prayers they recite. All come under religious or spiritual hygiene only. As far as the Asuric people are concerned, they call it all superstition. They don't believe in any of those things. And we cannot tell anything to them also, because it cannot be logically discussed or proved. It is a question of faith in the Shastras. So for a person who doesn't believe in Shastras, there is no point in discussing with him or even telling him these things. And similarly, na acharaha. Again, another integral part of religion, certain discipline, they are called acharas. And that also they do not follow. These people, Asuric Sampath people, they won't follow them. Achara means elaborate acharas are prescribed in the Smriti Granthas. It may be impossible to follow all of them. At least certain minimum things should be followed. One should not get up at, 10 a.m. and brush the teeth. You know, many people brush the teeth with breakfast. No prayer. All those things are, people follow those kinds of things, but scriptures say one should not. In the name of Vedanta, they think these are all not necessary. Why should we follow them? Sarvadharman Paridhyaya Krishna said, no, it is not like that. Our scriptures believe that philosophy will work only backed by religion, religious beliefs. So this is the difference between our philosophy and all other philosophies. They will not talk about achara at all in any of those philosophies. Therefore, minimum getting up before 6 o'clock. So, suryodayat purvam, before sun rises, one should get up. And avoiding surya astamane, sleeping, eating during sunset, all those things one should not do. At the time of surya astamanam, one should not sleep, one should not eat, all those. Similarly, starting the morning with some religious prayer. It may be dhyanam, prayer, puja, whatever one can. The day must begin with some religious activity. After that only, any worldly or family activity should be undertaken. If, it need not be 1 hour or 2 hour or 3 hour. It could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, doesn't matter. The intent is to remember God, lighting the lamp, doing namaskarams, and all those things, they are all considered, they are a part of this virtue only. Similarly, in the evening and night also, remind ourselves that dharma and moksha are more important than artha and kama. Every day remind ourselves. All material pursuit should be sandwiched between the religious morning and religious evening. During the day, of course, we all have to go after material pursuit to make a good living. But it should be sandwiched between a good morning and a good evening, thinking of the religious morning, religious evening, think of the Lord. Then the greatest advantage is, worldly life will not be a tension. That's advantage. It's a byproduct. Otherwise, we will have all kinds of problems. This is what Krishna is going to enumerate them. There is a sloka also. Very interesting sloka is there. It says, Kuchelinam Danta Malopa Dharinam Mahashanam Nishtura Vakya Bhashinam Surya Udayecha Astamayecha Ashayinam Jahati Lakshmi Rapi Chakradharinam. Very interesting shloka it is. If a person follows this particular lifestyle, he gives, what are the things? Lakshmi Devi will run away from that house. If a person follows all these. And what are those? Kuchelinam. One who does not dress neatly. That is, whatever dress one wore to sleep, he does not change it. He wears the same thing. Because it is a holiday, they think, why should I change the dress? They think dress should be changed only if I go out. If I don't have to go out, I can be in the same dress. Some people don't even do that also, perhaps. And Danta Lopa Dharinam, one who never brushes the teeth at all. Bed coffee, all this bed coffee and bed tea. And Mahashanam, constantly eating. The mouth is always engaged in eating only. One should eat only at prescribed times when you are hungry. And Nishtura Vakya Bhashinam, one who uses cruel words, all kinds of wrong words, abusive words, the person uses. Surya Udayecha Astamayecha Shayinam, one who sleeps during sunrise and during sunset. Remember, one can use exception for sickness and or somebody is sick, of course, that's a different thing. If you are healthy, that is why we say, Samanya Dharma and Vishesha Dharma. Samanya Dharma is common dharmas. Vishesha Dharma is exceptional ones. But a healthy person should follow all these. During these times, one should not sleep and should indulge in religious activities only, like prayers or whatever it is, service, any one of them. If these things are done by a person, then Jahati Lakshmi Rapi Chakradharinam. Lakshmi Devi will go away if a person does all these things. That house will not be in any auspicious manner at all. And the author goes one step further. Suppose Vishnu himself does it. He is Lakshmi Pati, right? Already husband of Vishnu, Vishnu Mahalakshmi. If he himself does this, what will happen? The author says, Chakrinam Api Jahati. Lakshmi will seek perhaps a divorce from such a Vishnu. She will not even be with such a person. That means Lakshmi Devi is very particular that a person must follow these rules. These are called achara. So the Asuric people do not have saucham and achara. And na satyam teshu vidyate. They do not have truthfulness either. They do not have to. Lying is habitual for them. For everything they will lie. Satyam should include arjavam also. Arjavam, you know, we already know that word. Thought, word and deed, they won't be there for them in harmony. Even punctuality, etc. are also satyam and arjavam, or arjavam only. One should be punctual. One should be straightforward. One should not keep something in the mind and talk something else. So these are all good virtues. Shloka 8.
Asatyama pratishtante jagadahuranishwaram. Aparaspara sambhuyam kimanyat kama haitukam.
And how do these people talk? That is being said here. Te ahuhu. They say the following. What are those? What do they say?
Jagat asatyam.
Here the word asatyam must be very carefully understood. Normally asatyam means what? Mithya. That is not true. That is, it's not real. And jagat asatyam. Who tells?
We all tell.
And Advaitin says, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, Jagat Asatyam. And here Krishna says that the Asuric people say that. And Advaitin only normally says that. He says, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, Jagat is Asatyam. But this person who is telling is an Asuric people. They say that the world is Asatyam. The entire Upanishads say that the world is Asatyam. That means these people should be talking very highest philosophy. Here, Asatyam should be taken differently. We can take two meanings. Shankaracharya gives, Satyam means truthfulness in speech. Satya Bhashanam. Satyam means truthfulness in speech. Just because the Asura people, they tell lies, they are Asatya Bhashis. They are speaking Asatyam. They begin to look at the whole world also in the same way. Because they are talking all the things Asatyam, they also look at the world also in that way. So, Jagat here means Janaha, the people. So, the Asura people, they say that all the people of the world are not speaking truth at all. They are all speaking untruth only. Because they speak only untruth all the time. They say the whole world is also speaking untruth. And why do they feel like that? Because they are speaking untruth. And so, they superimpose the same idea on others also. Because we know when we judge other people, the standard is what? Yourself. So, you know, normally we say, don't judge others by your own yardstick, measuring everyone in your own yardstick. But when I am a dishonest person, I suspect everyone also will be dishonest. So, Shankaracharya says, these people are asatya bhashis. They talk asatyam. Therefore, they look at the world also as asatyam. So, jagat asatyam means janaha asatya bhashinaha. All the people are also telling lies because I am telling lies. That is one meaning. And some other commentators, this is what Shankaracharya says. And some other commentators, they give another meaning, and which is also a nice meaning only. They take Satyam as Veda Pramanam. Why? Because Veda Pramanam is truthful. Whatever is given in the Vedas is truthful. It reveals the truth which is valid. So it is Satyam. Whatever given in Vedas is Satyam. And in this context, Asatyam means what? The Asuric people, they do not accept the Vedas. That is, the world is without Veda Pramanam. That is what they are telling. So, Jagat Asatyam means Jagat Veda Pramana Rahitam. It is not reliable.
In this case, the essential meaning of asatyam will be they are all non-believers of Vedas. Or technically, nastikaha. When they are not believing Vedas, they are called nastikaha or atheists. Incidentally, we should know the meaning of the word nastika also. Now that we have got into that, let us also say that. Normally, nastika means one who does not believe in God. But in our tradition, nastikaha, the one who does not believe in Veda Pramana, that is called nastika. And so the Asuric people, they are all nastikaha. And therefore what? So they are apratishtam. Here pratishta means dharma. Pratishta here means dharma. And apratishta means without any dharma, adharma or punya papa. They don't know all of them. So the world does not have any punyam or papam. They are all blind beliefs. They are all superstitions. That's what they say. So why is dharma? Dharma is called pratishta. According to scriptures, which is a fact also, dharma is the one which sustains the universe. That is why it's called pratishta. Dharma vishvasya jagata pratishta. It's a Vedic statement. Pratishta means support. Dharma alone supports the whole universe. In fact, the very word dharma is derived from the root dhr, to sustain. And so, dharanat dharmaha. So, dharma means supporter. Dharmaha means what? Supporter, and pratishta means supporter. So, both are identical. And why these people do not accept dharma and adharma? Because they do not accept Veda Pramana. Because Veda only talks about dharma and adharma. These people don't accept Vedas, so they don't believe in that. That is why for asatyam, we gave the meaning of apramana. Pramanam, apramana. So since they do not believe in Veda Pramana, they certainly do not believe in Punya Papa, Swarga, Naraka. They don't believe in any of them. They ask, where is Swargam and Narakam and all those things? Because without Veda, dharma can never be understood or talked about. Without Veda, it is all talked only on the basis of Veda. Because dharma is apaurusheya vishayaha. It is not of a human origin. That which cannot be logically or perceptually seen. You cannot see what dharma is perceptually. Not logically proved. Okay. And naturally, it is anishwaram ahuhu. They see the world is without an ishwara. They also say there is no ishwara at all. Because they are nastika. There is no ruler. Because ishwara is defined as dharma gopta. One who protects dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. All those shlokas we have seen. So dharma is protected by Ishvara only. And that is why we say when a person does punyam, he will get reward. Even though the government or the people may not help him, but he will get a reward. That is the punyam. For your dharmic action, you will get the reward from Ishvara at the appropriate time. So Ishvara is defined as Shashvata Dharma Gopta. In the 11th chapter, we have seen this. So, and these Asuric people, they do not accept Dharma Adharma itself. Then why should they accept an Ishvara also? They won't accept Ishvara also, who is the person who maintains Dharma Adharma. So they say world is without an Ishvara also, an Ishwaram. So what are all their attitudes so far? World is without Vedas. That is without Punya Papam, without a God. So naturally then we will ask a question. If you say Ishvara is not there, how did the world and people come into being? That question we can ask. Because we all believe Ishvara is the one who created the world. But if there is no Ishvara at all, then how these things came into being? Because we say Ishvara is the Srishtikarta. For that they say, Aparaspara Sambhutam. Kimanyaha kamahaitukam. Jivas are not created by Ishvara at all. Why Ishvara is necessary? Jivas are created by their parents. That is enough. So every being is born because of the union of male and female. Apara para sambhuta. So it says, aparaha means male. And female is paraha. Paraha is the opposite sex. So if you take aparaha as male, then paraha is female. If aparaha is female, paraha is male. So that is their philosophy. So the whole world of beings is only a product of the union of the opposite sexes. And this itself is caused by what? Why don't you say Ishwara caused this? No, they say for that also Ishwara is not necessary. And what is required is what? Kama haitukam. It is caused by kama. It's a natural urge. Why should Ishwara come into being at all? Why you bring Ishwara into this? Every animal knows how to reproduce its species. No animal need to be taught. And so Ishwara is not necessary for this purpose. And so kama haitukam. Kim anyate? What else is the cause of creation? Nothing else. And so they do not accept Srishtikarta, the God created the world, or Dharma Gopta, the one who protects. They don't accept Veda Pramanam also. They don't accept any of these things. Now we can imagine what type of life they will lead. Because a very good portion of their life cannot be now devoted to the religious or spiritual purpose at all. If you look at our life, many of our activities are all religion-based only. Temple, puja, classes, parayana, so many things. Now, this part of life is not there for them. That means 100% of their life is devoted to what? Artha, kama, all the time. And that is said in the following shloka that we will read. And they will become a danger to the society. That is the biggest problem. Shloka 9.
Yetam drishtim avashtabhyam nashtatmanolpa buddhayaham prabhavantyugra karmanaha kshayaya jagatohitaha.
So Krishna mentioned in the previous shloka the attitude of the Asuric people. What is their attitude? We saw in the last shloka. These Asuric people, they don't believe in Vedas, Dharma, Adharma, and Ishwara. They don't believe in any of them. And here Krishna says that they hold such a view. Yetam drishtim avashtabhya. Such a view, as stated in the previous shloka, such a nastika view, they all hold. The Asuric people, they all hold. Not only that, they win elections and even come to rule. Imagine to what extent they can go. So, yetam drishtim avashtabhyam, holding on to this view, these people are nashtatmanaha. Their life is lost, nashta. Why? Because the advantage of human life is what? Dharma and moksha purusharthas alone. That is the advantage of this life. An animal cannot have that. Artha and kama purusharthas, even animals can follow. For that, a human life is not necessary. Because animals also build nice, comfortable house for them. They also eat well. They also preserve food, successfully propagate their species. They also, you know, train their young ones how to live. And they all live a full life allotted to them. And they also die. So what is the difference between an animal and a human being? I also built house. I also propagated my parampara. I also lived a healthy 90 years of life. What is the use? So either I should try to improve my next birth or try to attain moksha in this life itself. So if these two are not achieved, I am a person who is lost. So Krishna says, nashtatmanaha. They are spiritually lost, have an animalistic life only. So their jivatma does not have higher goals at all. So Krishna says, nashtatmanaha. They are spiritually lost. And Shankaracharya, he comments as Nashta Paraloka Sadhanaha. No way to go to Paraloka at all. Good lokas. And the next world is Alpa Buddhayaha. Next world is Alpa Buddhayaha. That Buddhi is Alpam, very small, very restrictive, indiscriminate. Viveka Rahita Buddhayaha, without any Viveka. The reason is they choose a finite goal of Artha and Kama. And they lose the highest goal of dharma and moksha. So by going after finite material goal, they lose the infinite spiritual goal. Remember in Katha Upanishad, we said actually, Shreyascha Preyascha Manushya Metaha Tau Samparitya Vivinakti Dhiraha Shreyohi Dhirobi Preyobi Preyaso Vrinite Preyaha Mandaha Yoga Kshemat Vrinite. The moment I am born a human being, both spiritual goal and material goal are available to me. I can work hard, make lot of wealth, fame, land, all that. That could be one goal. Preyo Marga, it is called. And the other is commitment to dharma. and through that I can work for moksha. So everyone has both of these options. And Yamadharmaraja says, Dhiraha Shreyaha Vrinite. The intelligent person, Dhiraha, he chooses the Shreyo Marga, the spiritual goal. So even though materially he is not that well off, he did not possess maybe so many cars, land, wealth, house, all that. Even though others may look down upon him as a person who doesn't know how to live in this practical world from the material angle, this person has got only one aim, that is Shreyas, spiritual goal. Whereas Mandaha Preyaha Vranite, the Mandabuddhi person, the person with the unintelligent person, he goes after material things. The same thing is said here as Alpa Buddhayaha in this shloka. He chooses material goal, no dharma or moksha. Money alone is most important thing for him in life. So Alpa Buddhi, he means a buddhi which chooses finite vishayas, not the infinite. So Anitya Vastu Vishaya Buddhihi Alpa Buddhihi. And then what else? Second line says, Ugra Karmana, Ugra Karmanaha, they take to cruel actions. Ugra Karmanaha. We have seen in the third chapter actually, Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha Rajoguna Samudbhavaham Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyena Miha Vairinam. We saw this shloka. In the case of spiritual goal, desire can be fulfilled, you know, in the case of spiritual goal. In the case of material goal, desire can never be fulfilled. In spiritual goal, all desires can be fulfilled. Whereas in material goal, desire can never be fulfilled. That is why it was said, Mahashanaha, like a glutton. However much you eat, you want to eat even more and more. And once this desire goes beyond the limit, he cannot fulfill all those desires by legitimate methods. He wants to get this and that, but they cannot be fulfilled because it costs more money. So he will now resort to even illegitimate means of acquiring those. So one adopts illegitimate methods like getting bribe, this, that, and all that. Papas, they are all. Not only that, when there is competition, objects are limited, desires are many, and one may do even himsa, one may even harm others to fulfill one's desires. And therefore, kama will lead to krodha, krodha will lead to himsa. Only two steps, you know, from kama, krodha, himsa, that it is. So, ugra karmanaha means himsakaha, they will harm others. One who does harm everybody, other people also. And therefore, jagadaha, it is chayaha prabhavanti. So, the entire world, they become the cause of destruction of the whole world. Jagadaha, chayayaha. So, here, jagadaha refers to the people. So, jagadaha, chayaya, that means jananam chayaya. They become the cause of the destruction of many people. Remember, when one person wants to fulfill the desire too much, naturally the other people are deprived of that. For example, in Western Europe, the Americas, you know, they have got 3/4 of the wealth and 1/4 of the population. Whereas Asia and the East have got 3/4 population and 1/4 resources. Therefore, in some places they eat and waste, and in some other places there is not even one square meal a day. So if this continues, jagadaham, Trayaya, the world will be destroyed. And so what type of people they are? Ahitaha, ahita, ahitaha, ahitaha. Shatravaha, they are enemies. Enemies to whom? To all, to the world. Because they harm the world out of their own selfishness. They are, of course, enemies to God, naturally. They don't like, they criticize, like, you know, Hiranyakashipu and all those people. So, and the secret is, unknowingly, they are enemies to themselves. Even though they think they don't like us, they are enemies to themselves. So, vidyenam iha vairinam, Krishna said. When Krishna said, kama is an enemy. Enemy to whom? To oneself also. So, they are enemies to the world and they are enemies to themselves also. When it causes destruction to themselves, it is their priority. That's what they do. But when they become the cause of the destruction of the world, it becomes interference into others' lives also. So when they want to cause destruction to themselves, okay, we can feel, oh, the guy is an unfortunate guy. But they cause destruction to the whole human race, to the whole to the whole world, these people can cause harm to them by their behavior. You will see.